Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
For our Tuesday music feature today, we're talking about one of the most innovative albums in history, and we've got a very special guest as well. Revolver by the Beatles was released in 1966. It's regarded by many as the start of the group's psychedelic period. They started to experiment with backward sounds and double tracking and close mic drums. And to talk about this notable album, the songs and the techniques behind them, Mike Chun, CNZM, founding member of Split Enz, CEO of Play It Strange Trust, and a big fan of the Beatles. Hi.
Jesse, I'm no longer the CEO, I'm the creative manager.
How's it all going at Play It Strange?
Fantastic. Yeah. Play It Strange rocks. Our new CEO has got some wonderful things happening, like we've got guests coming to co-judge the songs, so we've got Lady Six, and we've got Jordan Luck and Marlon, our man of the stage.
Yeah,
so it's an expanding world, and I imagine as in every year, more songs come in than came in the year before.
Remind everyone who it's aimed at? Is it secondary school?
Yeah, so it's between 13 and 18 year olds, although the first competition, which is supported by Youth Town, is only what I would call third to fifth formers.
Yeah. And have some famous names come out of the Play It Strange stable?
Yeah. Elizabeth from The Beths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Louis Baker.
Great.
All sorts. You've got me on it, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't written them down.
Hey, thank you for coming in to talk about Revolver. And we're going to start in an interesting place. There is a song called Rain, not on this album, correct?
True, the B-side of Paperback Writer.
Okay. And would you like to introduce the first clip we're going to play, or do you want to play both clips and then talk about them?
No, let's talk about them first. Mm. So I didn't know anything about the Beatles when I heard this record, and I will discuss briefly why it has, I'm still talking about it at the age of 71. But what they did with this record is that they broke all the rules. And so I think John Lennon said in the studio, listen, I've written a song called Rain. It's going to be on the B side. He probably wanted it to be on the A side. Paperback Writer, why don't we play it really fast, the backing track, and then slow it down and sing to it. And they all thought that was a pretty cool idea. And George Martin, their producer, who, he must have been a dope smoker or something, because he always said yes to the strange things they did. So let's have a listen to how they played that track initially.
One, two.
Sounds pretty good.
Imagine playing bass that fast.
Oh, the bass sounds fantastic.
Yeah, but then we're talking about Macca.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they slowed it down to the speed that John Lennon thought it should be. And beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
That song really got out in our younger lives. I remember watching Dave Dobbin singing it. My brother sang it at the school lunchtime concert.
Huh.
Tim Fenn and I sang it one Saturday night instead of going to the school movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really got
us. So what did they achieve by doing it in that way? Or was it just the fact that they were starting to play around with the studio equipment?
I think it gave it a dirt.
Yeah.
You know, And you could never get that just by playing, recording them clean.
Huh.
The Beatles had gone from quite clean now to quite dirty. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and obviously they were a significant band for you.
Well, you see, out in Otahu, my brother and I didn't have any records. So the only records in the house were albums of crooners, Sarah Vaughan through to Frank Sinatra,
yeah,
and stage musicals. So there'd be Camelot, there'd be South Pacific, there'd be Oliver and all that kind of stuff. And then in an inspired moment, my parents gave my brother Jeffrey Revolver for his 13th birthday. So we were very excited at the fact that there was an album in our bedroom. And we played it, and it just became a completely dominating force in our life.
How cool.
Dominated our lives.
How cool.
So here we are today.
Yeah, and you've come in to talk to us about it, and you made a specific request that we get the mono version of Revolver. They released it in stereo a few years ago, but that wasn't how it was intended to be heard.
No, it was mono, the one we got, and McCartney and Lennon, they've all talked about how it should be listened to in mono, especially those techniques, you know, people like Jeff Emmerich and all.
Can you explain the difference to people?
Yeah, well, if you listen to a stereo record, you've got audio information on one side of your head and shared or different, strange sounds on the left-hand side of your head and something in the middle. But back then, if you did happen to get a stereo on, which would have been in the early 70s, it was all cut into two. So it sounded cheap and nasty. But also the mono one had different mixes. You know, Jeff Emmerich will say that we mixed Revolver and Sgt. Pepper's for mono, so that you heard everything out of both speakers the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And with those separate mixes, I can now listen to a stereo Revolver and I get all irritated.
Why?
At the end of, say, at the end.
Because it doesn't sound like it listens, like it sounded like in 1966.
So, there are some bits that were at the tail end of something like, you know, Good Day Sunshine, that aren't in the stereo mix. So I just think, well, we've been ripped off.
They cleaned them up for those re-releases 10 or 15 years ago. Did you enjoy the clean-up? Did you hear Ringo's drums a little better? And, you know,
what I got was a beautiful remixed mono version.
Yeah.
I've got all the mono versions.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all the albums. And I think I'm paying I'm tipping my hat to the Beatles thing.
Yeah, great. Let's play Taxman. Why'd you choose this one?
Well, it's George Harrison, and I think this is where he shone. There were stories of McCartney and Lennon having arguments and fights, and in fact, later on, there'll be a little moment around that. But, one, this is the first track on the album, which in their mind was like giving George Harrison a real leg up, shall we say. And it's political. It mentions the names Mr. Wilson and Mr. Heath, the sort of prime minister and the leader of the opposition.
That would have been rare in 1966.
God, yeah, no one was doing that. They were all doing, you know, kissy, kissy, lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, we didn't know anything about that and in hindsight, but we do think that gave them a really strong presence in that raft of 22-year-olds or 23-year-olds in the music industry.
Here it comes.
One, two, three, four. One, two.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Thank you.
Taxman by the Beatles.
Yes.
Of Mike Chun, Revolver.
Thank you.
Fair to say that's a little discordant, maybe compared to previous Beatles songs?
Totally.
I mean, there's a tune going on there and some really interesting guitar. Like, that's pretty, I'm assuming, pretty innovative as well.
They're both the same guitars. So that's George Harrison and Paul McCartney playing Epiphone Casino.
Uh-huh.
Now you know. And they do sound very similar, it's very almost, distorted.
I don't know if it's on the offbeat, but it's something a little bit interesting. But,
it's just out of swill. And also, if you listen to the bass, it's no wonder at the age of 14 I had to be a bass player. And within a year
I forgot to listen to the bass, thanks.
Out of this world.
Guitar solo is pretty wacky too.
And that's Paul McCartney,
Yeah. Not
George Harrison. So that's one for the books, isn't it?
We're talking about Revolver by Mike Chun, by the Beatles. Mike Chun is taking us through it. For No One, not the most famous Beatles song, but tell us about it.
Well, I always loved the McCartney tracks that tend to have one or two orchestral backing instruments. So it's something like, well, acoustic guitar isn't orchestral, but Yesterday, for example, had quite a strong violin arrangement behind it. And what was I going to say? Something.
Well, he was he actually played more than one instrument for this, right? Was this the point, because it's a studio recording, so you can do more than one instrument yourself, and he started going, well, maybe I'll just play a little bit of guitar on this or do a bit of this, and that wouldn't have necessarily been very popular with the rest of the band.
No, but he's also a very fine piano player, so this song has got very fine piano. Also, I'm a big fan, I guess, of the Barkian descending bass.
Tell me about that.
Dong, 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 dong. So if you listen at the start, the bass drops down, although his bass playing isn't that so much as the piano. But here's the story I love for this song is, I think it was George Martin, it might have been Paul McCartney, who thought, let's have a French horn in it somewhere. And so George Martin brought in a London Symphony Orchestra French horn player and sat him down and said, we'd like you to play a solo here in this section of the song. And he said, oh, yeah, I'd like that. What do you want me to play?
Uh-huh.
And they both said, well, we don't know. And so they played the backing track, and this French horn player made it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.